Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Who was here last week? Quick show of hands. Oh, that's most people. That's good. There's a few that weren't here last week. Well, if you weren't here, just indulge. If you were here, indulge me for a second. But we started a new series called Bold. Say bold. Yeah, that was a bit bold when you said that. That was good. We started this new series, Bold, and it was a series that is inspired by a verse in Acts. But if you remember, we talked about last week these two guys, these two dudes. There were Peter and John, and these two dudes were going to the temple. They see a guy who's crippled for more than 40 years, and so they go up to this guy who's begged them for food, begged them for money, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have giveth thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the guy gets up and he's, you know, he's walking and leaping and praising God, as the song goes. And that day, 5,000 people saw this miracle take place. God was glorified that day because this miracle took place. However, these two dudes were thrown into prison, and they then are dragged in front of the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish law courts of the day. And the Pharisees, the temple priests, the teachers of the law, they were thrown in front of them all. And they were asked, how did you do this miracle? What name? What trick did you play? What magic did you do? And they said, no magic. We did it in the name of Jesus Christ. And then it says this verse, which is our kind of focus verse for the whole series, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, which I've got coming up on the screen. It says this: when they saw the boldness, say boldness, of Peter and John, and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know, it's a prayer of mine that when people look at my life, they know that I've been with Jesus, that I've been transformed. Amen, right? That I've been transformed by Jesus. That's my prayer, and that's my prayer for all of you too. But these two ordinary men, in fact, we know the root word to that is idiotus, which really means idiots. So in the eyes of the Sanhedrin, these two idiots had great boldness. So this all happens. They go and they report to the rest of the Jewish people and the Christians of the way that in that particular time. And they're reporting everything that's happened about being locked in prison and being thrown ahead. And then they start to pray. They didn't pray for them to take the situation away. They didn't pray that all of it would just be sorted out by God, or God would smoke the enemies out. They didn't form a committee to find out what was going to happen and to figure out what was going on. They didn't freak out and worry. What they did was they prayed, and they prayed for incredible boldness to speak the word of God. And we kind of finished last week looking at this idea of, Lord, make me bold. That should be our prayer. Who's been praying, Lord, make me bold? All right, about half the people that were actually here last week. Well, that's good, you know. It's a dangerous prayer to pray, though. Lord, make me bold, because he's going to put you in a situation where it requires you to be bold. And just like building muscles, you've got to kind of go through a bit of oomph to get it built and bigger, right? It's a prayer that should change our lives, a prayer that should change our church. Well, this week I want to move on a little bit, and I'm going to give you the title of my message. I normally don't give you the title of this early on, but here's the title of it, and then I'm going to pray. We'll see our memory verse, and then we'll get into what God has for us today. But the title of my message today is Make a Bold Move. Say it with me. Make a bold move. That was not very bold when you said that. Let's hope you can get better later on. Father God, we just want to thank you that we can open your word, and as we dive into it today, make us bold. Make me bold to speak and preach the scriptures. Make our church bold to move out and witness like never before. Help us to make a bold move today and tomorrow and every day that we are still on the planet. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Let's look at the scripture verse. Bold. We're going to get bold in the house today. It's going to go down. Are you ready for it? Oh, three people, great. Hey, last Monday, I had a chance to go out with the youth from our core, the Bunbury Youth, and we went and joined up with Mandra Youth and Rockingham Youth, and we all met in a place called Dwelling Up Trees Adventure Park, I think is the proper name of it. Dwelling Up, it's basically, it's a high roping, zip lining thing. You climb trees and basically zip line on ropes, and you know, you get the harness stuff and stuff. In fact, I think I've got a picture of it. There's a few of us there. There's about 30 of us that gathered there today. It was a great day, and I'd like to say, yes, I did put the harness on, and I did get up in the trees, but I am afraid of heights. I put that straight up, and there's 8 levels. Like, there's the kiddie half level. Let's ignore that one for a minute. And then there's 8 other levels. I did level 1 and level 2. They're known as the green levels or the safe levels. It goes to blue, red, and then black. Black is the extreme, right? But I did the green. I'm proud of myself that I got up and did the green.
I'll take you on the black one
day. No. I had plenty of offers to go to the black one by the youth, but no. It wasn't going to happen. So I did levels 1 and 2. And they're pretty safe. They're pretty safe. Again, don't like heights. But where we were situated, where we were camped, where we set up base for all the youth to come back to, was the end of, I think it was level 3 or level 4. Like, it was one of the blue ones. And what you had to do, there was a platform in the tree to get off the course, to finish the course. There was a platform there. And what you had to do was actually just step off. And the rope then would just catch you as you fell and then lower you the rest of the way down, right? And I wish I had taken a photo of it, and I wish I had filmed someone doing it, but I didn't. But basically, yeah, you just stepped off and then the harness would catch you, and then you just lowered gently to the floor. And there were some young kids, I kid you not, they were like this big. You had to be 12 or more, but they looked like this big. And they were just jumping off. They had no fear at all, right? And then there was these others that were fully grown people that were really struggling to take that step, to actually step off, to actually just kind of do that motion. And I talked to one of the park, you know, the supervisors of the park and stuff, and they said they've seen grown men just absolutely almost in tears because they couldn't jump off. They'd overthought it. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't make that step. And they were surprised, actually, that normally it's the adults that really struggle, not the youth, not the kids, of taking this step. And so this idea of stepping off and just trusting the gear, trusting the rope, trusting the harness to catch you and lower you all the way down, it's that type of bold step or bold move that I want to talk about today. And we're going to look at a piece of scripture, a woman in the scripture who takes a bold step, makes a bold move, right? Kind of steps off the platform and just allows it to happen, right? And we're going to look at her story in the scriptures right now. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles. The words are going to be up on the screens. One day I'm not going to put all the words up on the screens and stuff, and just going to let you fend for yourselves. It's always good to actually read along and make sure that I haven't made a mistake in your actual Bibles. But this is a woman who just trusts. She makes a bold move and trusts. And she's faced with issues. She's faced with some obstacles, but she makes a bold move. Bold step in order to get her miracle. So let's read about it. And let me just set the scene too. Just before this, there's another story. So it's actually a story, and then this story interrupts that story, and then afterwards another story finishes. So it's the story of Jairus and his daughter. So his daughter is actually 12 years old and sick. And so Jairus is the father, comes to Jesus and goes, come and heal my daughter. Come and do something for my daughter. Like, help her out, Jesus. Well, I know that you're a miracle worker. And Jesus goes, okay. So he's starting to go, and crowds are following him. His popularity is going ballistic. And so crowds are following him. They're pressing up against him. They're all walking to Jairus' house. And then this happens right in the middle of this procession from where Jairus asks Jesus to do something and getting to Jairus' house. So this, in matter of fact, this woman interrupts Jesus. She interrupts his journey and his path to Jairus' house. So we're going to read it. Here we go. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Who's ready? Yep. All right, here we go. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. We don't know anything about this woman. We know nothing about her. We don't know her name. We don't know her ethnicity. We don't know where she's from. We don't know who her parents were. We don't know if she's got family or children. We know nothing about this woman except for her condition. Except for who the world tells us she is. The woman with the issue of blood. Right? That's all we know. It actually speaks a lot into the world these days, speaking about us and who are you known by. Like, they will tell you and picture you by your mistakes. Once a drunk, always a drunk. Once a druggie, always a druggie. Like the world kind of has this image, doesn't it? And pushes it against us. That, you know, it tries to label us in such a field. And right here, this is the label she's been given, is the woman with the issue of blood. There's no identity in that apart from in her problems. Does that make sense? It's important to see this because that's where her identity is kind of found, is in the fact that she has an issue. She has a problem. And according to Leviticus 15, anybody who bled for more than, any woman who bled for more than 7 days was ritually unclean. So she was forced then to live outside of the city, forced to live away from people, forced to be pretty much on her own. And this was a time when if you were someone who had an issue like this, you were out of the city, away from people, away from towns and other gatherings. If you had issues like this, there was no government help. There's no great hospitals. I mean, they did have healers and stuff, but there was no great hospitals to go to. She had to fend for herself. This is a time when people would just avoid her because if you went anywhere near her, you'd become unclean yourself. And so they didn't want to become unclean. And so this woman was, you know, desperate, had a condition, all alone, fending for herself. It's about as low as you can get, right? And nobody wanted to go anywhere near her. And then we read this in verse 26. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. So not only is she alone and segregated and away from people, and like my guess is that her family and everybody had just left her by this stage, if she had any. She now had no resources and no money, right? This is about as desperate as it gets. And everything she tried, everything within her that she thought about doing over that 12 years to fix this issue, to fix this problem, did not work. In fact, it just made matters worse for her. Verse 26, and this is where it starts to get exciting. When she heard about Jesus... Stop. Let's stop right there. When she heard about Jesus, how did she hear about Jesus? Not a trick question. What? Nobody? How did she hear about Jesus? Someone had to tell her. Someone had to tell her. So someone somewhere told her about this guy named Jesus. In fact, I want to just say, and let me make this very clear, that we can be as good intentioned as we like in the church. But unless we speak about Jesus outside of the church, how are they going to hear about the saving grace of Jesus Christ? The issue of sin and shame and wrong and all that stuffs them up. And then how are they going to hear unless someone says something about Jesus? I get that we need to act and we need to operate the right way. And our words have got to meet our actions, absolutely. And a lot of us example our lives of Jesus and Jesus working through us, absolutely. But how are they going to hear that that's what it is? Unless we tell them. We need to speak the name of Jesus out. We need to speak the name of Jesus to people. Yeah? We need to speak the name of Jesus. And that's how she heard it. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. 28, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Man, this is a bold move. A bold move right here. This is why this woman has incredible faith, is because of this move right here, right? This move right here. And it brings me to the first takeaway for us today. If we want to make bold moves for God, and make a bold move for God, then it all starts with a bold belief in who our God is and what he can do. I know that's simple and you might know this already, but we sometimes need simple. We need to know who our God is and what he can do. The woman, this unnamed woman, the woman with the issue of blood, the one that had bold faith, right, said that she would be healed. I will be healed, the scripture says. It doesn't say maybe I will be healed. It doesn't say it could happen. Maybe if I have my tongue the right way and I say please, it will happen. It doesn't say if God is in a good mood and, you know, and he's thinking, you know, that everything's going right, that it will happen. It doesn't say if I do all the right things and go to church and give my 10% in the offering and I you know, do a Bible study and the stars line up, like if all of it's great, that it will happen. It just says it will happen. There's a belief there, a bold belief that believes that God can do it, that God can do it. It says, I will be healed. That's how she phrases it, I will be healed. The woman had a certainty about her healing. She had a total trust and faith that she would be healed. She understood that there was promises from God in the Old Testament, right? And she knew that God was a healer, and so she held on to those promises knowing that God can actually do it. She had a faith that said God can and God will. God can and God will. A bold belief in who Jesus was, who God is. And we need to have this bold belief in Jesus, yeah? You're looking at me like Stan Mullins and you haven't had enough coffee this morning. Like, we need to have a bold belief in who Jesus is. This is simple stuff, I know. I know this is simple stuff, but you need to understand that we can't make a bold move unless we have a bold belief in who our God is. Does that make sense? We need to have a bold belief, which actually brings up my second point that I want to highlight right now, is bold belief actually makes us or helps us have bold moves. Bold belief helps us have bold moves. See, that same verse, verse 28, says she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Say, if I. You see, if I just take a step off the platform, the ropes will catch me as I'm falling. If I just take a step, if I just make a move, if I just get closer to Jesus, if I just do something, if I just touch him and reach out and touch him, then I will be healed. There's an action. If I is an action, it's an action. Like, if I do, if I step closer, if I get there, then he will. That bold belief drives the action, right? If I do this, I'll be healed. If I do this, I'll be made whole. If I do this, like I'll get my miracle. If I do this, I will see the power of God at work in my life. Bold beliefs bring bold moves. And this unnamed woman made a bold move this day, yeah? Without knowing the outcome, without knowing or controlling the situation, she just knew that God can and God will, and so she just stepped out and made a bold move. She stood on the foundations of the promises in the scriptures. I'm telling you today, we need to stand on the promises of the scriptures in the Word of God. Yeah? We need to stand firm on that. But I've got a confession to make now, just to temper this now. It is easy for me to say, just believe that God will do it. And it's much harder to believe that God can and God will through me and through you, that God will actually do it. Because quite often and sometimes, and we know this, we pray for something and something else has happened, not what we were expecting. Does that make sense? And I think then we start to hesitate in our bold moves. And we hesitate to take that first step, to jump off the platform and allow the ropes. We hesitate because we question, is God actually going to do it? We hesitate on asking for bold things and making bold moves because we question, is God actually going to, is the ropes going to catch me as I fall? Does that make sense? We hesitate. And so we play it safe and we think of all the other possibilities that could be happening. And instead of jumping off the platform to what God tells us to do and making that bold move, we come back and go, God, give us a sign that this is what you want me to do. Am I on the right track, God? You know, just do something so that I know that, you know, I've got this right, you know. And then I'll have complete faith and jump out. Then I'll do it. Then I'll step up. Give me some reassurance, God, that this is right. Like, am I speaking something that you guys don't feel, or you all feel this? Yeah? You see, ultimately, I think, and this is going to hurt. Like, I'm sorry. I think ultimately a lot of us don't see the power of God in our lives is because we're waiting for God to give us the reassurance instead of just jumping off the platform. And I think God is wanting us to jump off the platform before he gives us the reassurance. Does that make sense? I think that's what the problem is. Is we're waiting for God to do something and to show us, and he's waiting for us going, no, just jump, just step. Just make a move. And I think when I think about this issue, this is me, right? I'm telling you what I feel, and I know that you guys are in the same boat, but this is me. Whenever I come across a stalemate like this, where I'm waiting for God to do something and God's waiting for me to do something, I take God's side. Because he's going to be right. And he's always faithful. And if he says something, he will do it. Where me, on the other hand, if I say something, the chances are I could forget. I might stuff that up. I'm not as faithful as God is, right? Like, don't hold me too close to promises. At some point, I'll let you down. That's me. But God doesn't. And so when we encounter a stalemate like this, I think we need to go, you know what? I'm going to take God's side instead of mine. Does that make sense? That's how we overcome. That's how we make a bold move. This woman makes a bold move towards Jesus. It continues. Let's read the rest of the story, because the rest of the story is so good. It continues, verse 29. Immediately, say immediately. Immediately. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt that in her body that she had been freed from the suffering. Verse 30. At once, Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, let me get a bit biblical for you, a bit scholarly for you. Some scholars believe this woman tried to steal the miracle from Jesus, right? Jesus knew what happened. Like, you can't steal anything from God, right? You could try, you can't do it. You can't steal stuff from God, right? And it almost feels that way. Like, when you start to look at this story and you start to see that actually Jesus was doing something else, and this woman just comes up behind and touches, and all of a sudden she's healed. Like, it almost looks like she's trying to steal a miracle, but she's not stealing the miracle. Jesus knows. And he says, "Who touched my clothes?" And I love the disciples' answer. "Jesus, there's people everywhere here. Everybody's bumping up against us as we're going to Jairus' house. Like, how can you ask who touched my clothes?" And I think the question he's really asking is, who came up with the faith and made a bold move? That's what he's really asking is, who actually stepped out in faith and made a bold move? A move that is actually beyond even what I've taught at this point in time, right? And so he just keeps going. You know, disciples go in verse 31. "You see the people against you, and yet you ask who touched you." Verse 32. "But Jesus kept looking around to see who did it." In other words, you can't steal a miracle from God. You just can't do it. We can reach out and grab one, but we need to do a move first, don't we? Verse 33. "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth." Can I say that's bold as well? You know, if the maker of the universe goes, "Who did this?" Like with your kids. They're there and they're in trouble. You know, one of them has done something. Okay, which one of you did this? Cough it up, come on. And you kind of do everything, don't you, to try and avoid confronting that? She comes before him and falls down at his feet, trembling with fear, knowing who he is, trembling in the awe of who Jesus is and what he can do. Trembling, going, "Here's the truth about it all." This is bold in itself. So not only does she have a bold belief, not only does she make a bold move, right? She has a bold conviction to do what is right. Does that make sense? And so Jesus, after seeing this, says one of the best lines in Scripture, and one of the things that just blow my mind every time I read it and study it. He says this, verse 34. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." He says, "Daughter." He doesn't say the woman who had the issue of blood. He says, "Daughter." He has brought her closer by calling her daughter. She's no longer known by her issues. She's no longer required to live alone outside of the cities. She's been restored back to that. She's no longer suffering from an infliction causing her pain and heartache, and she's no longer a broken person, but she's been made whole, made right, restored, fully integrated back into the community. She has been made right, and this whole thing has been given her a new position in the family of God, a daughter of Jesus Christ. Can you see this? Daughter of God. It's a bold move that brought transformation to this woman. Yeah? A bold move. I mean, you got to see it. Because here's the thing, right? Let me hear this. Right? We are all full of sin and shame and wrong. And whether we like it or not, we are like this woman, right? We are bleeding from the inside. We are hemorrhaging from the inside because of our sin and our shame and our wrong. We may be able to dress up in a nice, like, outfit and put on nice clothes and nobody in the world will see it, but we know in our own hearts and minds and souls we are sinful, ugly people. Come to church, we'll encourage you. Like, we are. We are like this woman, hemorrhaging from the inside. We can hide it, but we can't. It's only when we make a bold move and reach out to Jesus that he heals us. It's only when we make a bold move and have faith and we reach out and say, "Jesus, come and heal me. Like, if I reach out and touch you, I know that I'm healed." It's only when we do that that we are made right with God, yeah? Right? It's only when we do that that we're set free. He restores us and he gives us a position as daughters and sons in his kingdom. Amen? Like, this is the gospel message right here. This woman examples it. She reaches out, touches Jesus' clothes, not even Jesus himself, just his clothes, and she gets healed. She knows that the bleeding has stopped, that she is made right and whole. It's a bold move that brings transformation to this woman. Brings transformation, which actually, for us today who are believers, brings up a bigger point. If we want to see people's lives transformed in our community, we need to start making some bold moves. If we want to see our neighbours come to know who Jesus is, we need to make some bold moves. Because bold moves brings transformation. Bold moves just give God an opportunity to show off his power and his ability. When we trust that the rope is going to catch us when we fall, then all of a sudden God goes, "Watch this." And he makes stuff happen, yeah? Right? Bold moves brings transformation. And so if we want to see transformation, if we want to see miracles, if we want God to do something great, if we want our church to grow, we want all this to happen, then we need to make bold moves. We need to make bold moves. We need to step off the platform and trust God that he's got this. Bold belief helps us make a bold move, and bold moves bring transformation. Does that make sense? I hate having do this to get to this and then get this to do this, but this is what the passage is saying, right? Many, many years ago, when I was a brand new pastor, I think I was in the role for all of 4 weeks at the time, and I was very green, very young, very dumb, very unknowledgeable, you know. I was in a place called Narrogin. We had a Corps Sergeant Major there, and he was just an absolute man of God. Like, he was a former pastor, and he was just a powerful guy, right? And one day we decided to rearrange our drop-in centre and we set up all the tables, and we were actually four chairs short when we set all the tables up. So we set all the tables up, we were four chairs short. We had these ugly orange chairs, I think they were, or green chairs, I can't remember. It was some colour. But I just remember being four chairs short. And so we were like, oh, what are we going to do? We're four chairs short, you know. And in my head, I'm just thinking, oh, where can we buy these old dodgy chairs from, you know, like... And he straight away goes, let's pray. And his head's down already. And I'm like, okay, we're praying. Good. No, you should be the pastor, not me. But let, okay, we're praying. And he starts praying. Lord, we believe that these four chairs are going to come in. These four chairs are going to... And he just keeps praying. Like, this guy could pray, right? And he's believing these four chairs are coming in. He's boldly praying that prayer, that these four chairs are coming in. Then it gets to my turn. I was used to praying for people who were sick and dying and for the bigger things, you know, like God do mighty works in this. I wasn't used to praying for chairs. I wasn't even sure if God was going to answer the prayer for chairs. Like so here's me, you know, dear God, yes, I agree we should bring those chairs in, and yeah, God, you're so good. And like it was very awkward kind of prayer from me. But I kid you not, this day I learnt so much about bold moves and bold praying and bold belief. Because as we were praying, there was a ute reversing in to the car park at that very moment. We had an op shop on site dropping off a whole pile of donations. And in the middle of the donations, and I kid you not, the same colour, the same style of chairs, six of them, six, not seven, six. Six chairs, same style. You could think that they were brothers and sisters and got lost in transit somewhere and then they've rejoined each other. Like the exact same chairs that we were needing and praying for, that he was praying for and believing in, were arriving at the very moment we were praying. And I realized then that we can pray boldly because God can do anything. I think we need to have some bold moves. And he boldly prayed. He boldly believed. And they came in. Church, I believe God is looking for people to make some bold moves. I'll get the piano to come up and keys to come up, but I believe God is looking for people to make some bold moves. I believe that we serve a bold God who stepped into our world, who didn't give us a spirit of fear, but gave us a spirit of love and joy and power and a sound mind. I believe that God is looking for churches that believe who God is and what he can do. I believe that God is looking for people who are boldly going to step out of their comfort zone, step off the platform and just trust him with absolutely everything. I believe that God is for us and not against us. Amen? Like, I believe God is wanting us to start making some bold moves. And today I just want to challenge you with this idea of making a bold move this week. Just one, if you want to start small. Making a bold move. The first bold move, I want to talk to two different groups of people. The first group of people may never have actually given God a try. Like, you might be coming to church and you might be enjoying the community, or you might be watching online and you know in yourself that you're bleeding, you're hemorrhaging inside. And you just need to make a bold move and invite Jesus in. You need to take that first step to reach out to him. And when you do, he's going to run to you and he's going to heal you. Take a step of faith and ask Jesus into your life. Because we are all like that woman. And if you've never done that before, maybe you did it years ago, but you know that you still, there's something wrong inside, then I want you to come and talk to me after the service. And I'll pray with you and I'll help you, lead you towards Jesus and guide you there. But only you can take the step off the platform. Only you can take the jump, the final jump. And so I want to do that. And if you're online watching and you want to do that and give your heart to Jesus and take that step, then reach out over Messenger. And then I'll phone you later today. Bold move. But there's another group of people who have given their lives to Jesus today, who have taken that first bold move, that first step off the platform, where you have given your heart to Jesus. But maybe you're playing it safe today. So I want to challenge not just encourage. I want to challenge you to make a bold move this week. And the bold move could be just to study more. Or a bold move could be to share the gospel message with someone. Invite someone to church. That could be bold for you. I don't know what God is wanting you to do. All I know is it takes a whole church to build a church. And we need to make bold moves. And when we make bold moves, when we have a bold belief in a God who can do absolutely anything, then miracles will happen. Transformation will happen. Great things will happen because of a God who's that bold. And so I want to encourage you to make a bold move, and I want to challenge you with this idea of what is your bold move this week. And Troy at the back has got some cards like last week. And it just simply says, my bold move is, and then a line. And you may not be able to answer what your bold move is right now. Because, you know, when you get put on the spot and you go, and some people kind of just don't overthink it. Just go, God, what do you want me to do this week? What bold step do you want me to take? What bold jump do you want me to do? And then write on there what that is. And when you write it on there, there's something that happens. When you write it on there, it's set. And then you'll be looking for that bold move all week. And it could be invite a friend to church. It could be share the gospel. It could be study. It could be do anything. It could be take a step and get to know who Jesus is. But I'm challenging you today to make a bold move for God. Because I guarantee you, once you made one, you'll make another and another and another. And I truly believe God is calling his church to be bold. So we'll get the singers up to join us as we sing a song, Graves into Garden, which talks about being transformed from one to the other. In fact, the opening lines are, I've searched the world and nothing fills me. Nothing can fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fades are never enough, and it's not. Only Jesus really can satisfy. Only Jesus can really heal you and fix you. This woman searched 12 years. Nothing was able to do it. Father God, today we just want to thank you for the example of this woman. And we ask that you just help us make a bold move this week. That you just show us what you want us to do. And that we just do it. We step off the platform and we just trust in you. Trust the fact that you are a good God, a great God, a God who can do all things, a God that can and a God that will. And so as we step off, God, I'm praying and that we make that as we make that move, I'm just praying, God, that you just answer that and show us just how good you are, how mighty you are, how powerful you are. And Lord, if we're in that stalemate between our feelings and what you say, then help us to pick you each and every time. I've searched the world and nothing can fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never, ever enough. Let's sing this beautiful song.